Michigan City, Indiana. Howdy do. Michigan City, Indiana. Howdy do.
We are back. Michigan
City, howdy do.
I'm excited for this one.
Oh, yeah. Are you? I can't tell if that's real or not.
Yeah, that's my excited
voice. Okay. Great. Well, I'm Kyle Murphy.
And I'm Adam Moore.
And this is Michigan City, howdy do. Or is it howdy do, Michigan City? I don't remember what we call it anymore. It's one of the two. This is the show. This is the podcast.
Howdy do, Michigan City, man.
It's the train wreck that you're listening to currently. Well, we got a guest tonight.
Adam. Yeah, there's exciting.
There's someone sitting across from
us. Yeah, this is exciting. So ever since we started Howdy Do, you know, what, like 3 months now or something?
Yeah.
4 months. We said that having guest hosts and interviews on the show is definitely something that we really wanted to do.
Absolutely.
Tonight, it's fruition. Yeah.
Yeah, it only took us 7 episodes to get to this point where we were like, I guess we could ask someone.
Well, we had to practice a little bit. So, I guess why don't we introduce our guest? Really sitting over here, like, you guys gonna introduce me or what?
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to talk about it. No, we're serious. I'm actually your first guest.
We're totally serious. Yeah. You are
I guess
first
most
guest.
Of myself out. I didn't totally listen to all your podcasts.
Oh, no, that's all right.
So we have...
most rarely do.
So as our guest tonight is Steve Barnes.
That's me.
And he, currently is the teacher of the automotive class at the AK Smith Center.
That's right.
And is longtime Michigan City resident.
Nearly 40, definitely more than 30 years.
I'd say that's pretty,
so,
pretty qualified.
I would say
35 years ish.
Yeah, I think.
Wait, how old am I? Yeah, it's right in there.
I think you're just over the threshold to officially say like you're a Michigan City resident because I think it's like 30 years. I think is the threshold or something.
Yeah.
Well, now you're gonna make me feel bad.
Usually, yeah.
That means I.
Usually, when people yell at you on Facebook, it's like 30 years you have to live here. Well, great. It's exciting to have you. Thanks for joining us.
I am excited. This is going to be fun.
Good. Yeah, he's excited. He's not scared.
That was my excited voice.
Oh, well, man. Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your Michigan City history.
Oh, man. Well, I guess it's not public radio, right? So there's not a whole lot I can't say.
This is true.
Jeez. I really should have thought about these questions before I came in. My history in Michigan City, I came here in sixth grade, I think, something like that. So, and at the time, I lived outside of the city limits. It was out on Highway 12. Growing up in this area, I don't know. I don't really have a frame of reference because I never really grew up anywhere else, if that makes sense. Right? But I can't really make a comparison to living or growing up anywhere else. And so by the end, that sounded weird. I don't even know if I can make sense. So you are going to edit this out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure. No, we're just going to let it go. We're letting it roll. We're letting it ride. No edits.
Well, that's right. You got to
edit.
All right.
We're live. No, I'm joking.
Fantastic. No,
we didn't tell you.
That's our first live episode, too.
This is being broadcast. AK Smith Center right now, actually.
Don't worry, because this is how we talk when we're doing it anyways. This is how our first episode was anyway, so don't worry. You're in good company. You don't need to worry.
But, I don't know. I guess... Part of me sort of wished that I was, I grew up in a bigger city, you know. But then as I got older, now I'm starting to want to move out into the country somewhere, you know. And so as I look back, I realize I kind of had both really living in this area. I mean, it's not that big a city. And there's all kinds of, there's a lot of stuff here. I know a lot of people complain about Michigan City, and I definitely do from time to time.
We've talked.
Oh, we never complain about it.
But I don't know. They're definitely. I mean,
missed,
I can get
you,
on.
You missed our last episode then, when we had 15 minutes where we talked about the budget pitfall. So
yeah,
we're not all positive. We try to keep it mostly positive. So when did you kind of realize working with cars, where you were like, ah, oh, man, maybe this is something I'm going to do?
I remember the moment.
The moment.
Oh, dang. Okay.
I was about 7 or 8. And so my dad had a bunch of, like, on and off, he would have cars that would come and go in the garage. And I would find my way out to the garage. I have a feeling either he was fixing for cash, or maybe he was running a chop shop. I don't know. But probably not. Probably not. But anyway, these vehicles, like, never stuck around long, right? But there was something about them getting dirty, or just the way the place smelled. But it was, he had this old blue Jeep pickup truck, and he was messing, it had been sitting in the garage of the barn for a long time, and he was tired of looking at it. So I don't know if he's going to sell it or whatever, but he's going to get this thing running. And he's messing around with it for, I'm guessing, a couple hours. And because my ability to tell time is horrible even now, so even I had no idea what I was. Anyway, so he starts working on this thing, and finally, after enough throwing tools and holding flashlights for him and yelling and screaming and busted knuckles and profanity, he reaches in and starts this thing up. And it didn't run well, but it ran. But there was just something about it. There was this feeling in my gut, hearing that this thing like sort of come to life and roar. It was like spitting fire and stuff. You know, like, oh, that's awesome. And I decided, man, that's what I want
to
do.
When you grew up, where did you take that mechanical skill to then?
So I knew I wanted to do something mechanical and something with cars, and naturally, like, race cars just sort of took a hold. I knew I had to do something with motorsports or race cars, because my dad took me to South Bend Speedway several times, watched stock cars and demolition derbies and stuff. I'm like, man, this is just too cool. You like feel it in your head and your chest when the engines are rumbling.
Yeah,
it's awesome. So they said if I was interested in cars, then I should take this power and transportation class my sophomore year.
Sweet.
And it was cool. I learned a lot from that. I learned in that class that you can put out a fire with gasoline.
What?
You ever do it?
No. That's a thing?
It's pretty great.
How do you do that?
So when gasoline burns, it's not the liquid that's burning. It's the vapors. And vapors are always rising from the liquid, right?
Okay.
And so if you have a flame over a puddle of gasoline, it's going to catch fire because those vapors will combust.
Oh.
And this is what he did. He took a wooden match, lit it, and set it on the metal bench, and a little plastic coffee cup full of gasoline, and poured it on there. And he was fast about it. He said, now don't try this at home. But
Don't try this at home.
Seriously. Disclaimer. Did he?
Yeah.
But no, he took a little cup of gasoline, and to prove, because the when you dump it out, the vapors are on the top and the liquid's on the bottom. It's the liquid that smothers the flame, put it out.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was fascinated by this class.
That's amazing. How do you do? Michigan City is not responsible for you lighting your hair on fire. Just had to put that disclaimer out there for anyone who... Yeah, no.
Now, I tell my career students about it, but I don't... For any parents listening to this, I don't show them how to do it.
Good.
I do tell them it's possible, though. So then when I graduated high school, I went to Lincoln Tech down in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And so I didn't have, like, the traditional college experience.
Sure.
But I do feel like I had enough of the going away to school experience.
Because you went down to Indy.
Right. There were times when I feel like I had 4 years worth of educational experience crammed into my life in just over 2 years.
Yeah.
I I probably can't talk a whole lot about the things I did during school. But anyway,
you do have students who look up to you. Just right. Remember that.
Maybe listen, I'm not afraid to tell a story.
Maybe
as long
we
as
just
it's
skip
true.
The 20s.
Right. I think that would be.
We want him to be employed after this.
Yeah. So what led you? What led you to AK Smith Center and to doing the automotive stuff there?
When I went in for an interview at AK Smith, and I walked in, and the secretary at the time says, "So you're wanting to tell the director
here's
so
some change."
Oh yeah, because I came in, I'm wearing my because I had come from the shop. I think I was even driving a customer's car. Right, I was test driving a customer's car. I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna go in here, get this done. So I probably shouldn't say that, but
well, it's true. It parks well.
So I go in. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I go in. The secretary says, "Hey, your 1 o'clock appointment's here for the interview. You don't want this guy."
No way!
I swear to God, and I'm standing right there. I'm like, "Oh, all right." So that's how I'm gonna be.
Oh my gosh, dude!
Oh, man.
So
holy crap!
That's so cold.
That is right in front of the person.
That's cold.
God love her. Yeah.
Is she still there?
No, actually. She passed a couple years ago. She was great.
Did she grow on you, or you grew on her?
I definitely.
Okay.
Because I saw that there were some staff at the time that didn't treat her the nicest.
Oh.
And to this day, like the first week of every school year, I take my class. I'll walk around the building and show them all where everybody is, where all the classes are, you know.
Sure.
And I walk them through the office and introduce them to the secretaries. And I say, be nice to these ladies. And same thing with the custodians. I'm like, be nice to these ladies. Okay. Well, because this lady will make or break your career here. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're nice to her, yeah, maybe you don't have to get a tardy slip the day you're 2 minutes late. But if you're not nice to her, maybe she accidentally put an F on your transcript. Oops. Oh. You know, whatever.
That's
be nice to these people.
Great advice.
You know,
don't
look down your nose at the custodian.
Yeah.
You know,
treat everyone with respect.
That's right.
So you still had the interview, obviously.
I did. Yeah. So we walked around, and I think what may have sealed the deal was, I mean, not only am I, you know, amazing. Oh, and modest.
It's super charming.
But I had all the right answers, the interview questions and all that. And I was kind of stoked about the job because I was started thinking about thinking back to my junior year in high school, thinking back to 91, 92, going, man, this is what I wanted to do 20 some years ago. Had somebody told me 10 years prior that I was going to be a teacher, I'd have told you were crazy because my career just didn't take that path like at all.
Sure.
So anyway, so we're walking around and she walks me down to the shop and the classroom. There's a class going on. Like I said, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we walk in there and she introduces me to the other substitute teacher at the time. And a student in the back of the room says, "Who are you?" I'm like, "Well, if all goes well, Mr. Barnes."
Ooh, power move.
Right. And the director, she just sort of smiled. All right, I got this.
You start tomorrow.
Right. So, but
good luck.
Right. And it was kind of that way, too, because when I started, it was like, so there's the shop, there's a classroom, there's your desk.
Don't lose a finger.
I'll see ya. Okay.
Yeah, so for those that haven't, I've been there. So, yeah. But for someone that like that has no idea what this class even is, I mean, it's a full-blown like automotive shop. I mean, it's got a lift.
Yeah, five. Yeah.
Five.
It's a seven.
Five lifts?
It's a seven-bay shop.
I mean, it's like you're so walking into a mechanic shop.
Cow.
I mean, it's not just like a class. I think people might think it's, oh, it's a classroom with some like labs or no, that's not what this is. This
and I run it like a shop. I run it like a business.
Oh, good.
That way I don't treat the students like, I try not to treat them like children, first of all.
Sure.
But I try to treat them like professionals.
And what grade, so what's the first grade that's available?
It's juniors and seniors. So it's 11th.
Oh, 12th. It's just juniors and seniors.
Yeah, 11th and 12th grade.
It's sort of a path that they have to choose pretty early on. And in fact, if you think about it, I really feel like the vocational, is it still called vocational? Is that the right term? Or is that,
that's not kosher anymore. No, it's career and technical education.
Okay.
CTE.
CTE.
Right.
It's almost one of the first major decisions that a kid will make.
So
if they want to go that route or, you know, not that route.
Right. So the path has gone from, or the choice rather, has gone from college or trades.
Yeah, but is it truly a Y in the road? If I take the CTE classes and I go and I spend, what is it, half a day at the AK Smith Center?
Yep.
And they're bused there.
Yeah.
So it's not just Michigan City.
No.
Sure. The kids are bused from...
Seven schools.
Seven.
Really?
We got Michigan City, New Buffalo, Michigan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
New Prairie, La Crosse, Westville, South Central, and I'm forgetting somebody.
Is it La Porte?
Yes. La Porte. That's it.
Okay.
Okay, so kids are coming from...
That's a close one.
Yeah. So they're coming from all around.
All over.
And they're bused there every day.
We've had some homeschool
their
students
school.
Last year.
So they start in their school, right? Get on a bus from there, get bused to the AK Smith Center.
Right.
Do their classes there, and then they get bused back to their school to end the day.
Yep.
So that's got to take up. So how does that work with the amount of time that you spend on the bus taking away from your school?
So the morning class. So the morning class is 7:25 to 9:35.
Okay.
For outlying students. So the Michigan City, all the other class, all the other schools except
Michigan City.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
So Michigan City students stick around another 10 minutes. We give the other schools the extra 10 minutes of drive time.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Because I think that total, because our class, we don't have passing periods, right? So our class counts for three periods, but it's all crammed in to the total amount of class time. So if you take the 10 or 15 minutes...
Your one class. Is 3 hours?
Three periods. Right, because a class period is like 45 to 50 minutes.
Oh, okay. Right.
And so if you factor in a couple of passing periods for 10 minutes... plus a 15-minute drive,
yeah,
you got 25 minutes, right? So their next class, like my morning class, their next class doesn't start until 25 minutes after they leave me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they don't get much time back at the...
Time for lunch. Like, they'll get back... In the morning class, they'll get back in time for lunch. Now...
And then they'll have their periods
after that.
And then have a few
classes after that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now we are dealing with juniors and seniors, so... good number of them drive. So,
they don't have to take the bus.
Now, some schools don't like them to drive because it's a liability.
That's
well,
true.
Yeah.
You're adding a whole other legal issue.
Right.
Yeah.
What if they get in a crash?
Right.
Whose fault is it?
Yeah, it gets messy.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, and kids do stupid things. You know, it happens, right? But, you know, the kids that drive, well... somehow or another, they can get back to the high school way faster than a school bus. So that gives them an extra 15 minutes to do whatever they're going to do before their next class. I don't want to incriminate anybody.
I wonder what that would be.
There is still that fork in the road, right? You still need to make a decision. But it's not so much college or tech school anymore, right? So there's a whole bunch of other opportunities that have opened up, really, because in ninth grade you can still go to college, you can start taking your AP classes, you can do the stuff I was not gonna do. Now, if you do pick one of the trades, one of the things to consider is that all of our programs offer college credit.
Right? Oh.
So my students, in their, if they stick with me through their junior and senior years, they get like 15 or 17 college credits.
That's big.
From Ivy Tech, right? And so that's, you know, halfway to an associate's degree.
Yeah, seriously.
That are in their automotive credits.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year I had like 16 students, I think. 16? Actually walk into the Ivy Tech graduation because they got enough credits. They got their, they got a technical certificate. Yeah.
That's crazy.
All of our programs offer it. Some of them are from Vincennes. Some of them, maybe it's just Vincennes and Ivy Tech.
Well, if I'm in 10th grade and I haven't really ever worked on cars before, but maybe I kind of like cars, but I think it might be fun or I might like it, but I haven't really ever worked with cars. Is it too late or can I make up for time in your class compared to, or am I going to start class and everyone's like been working in the garage with their dad the whole life?
About a third of my students have some sort of background, and it's typically because of that. They've been tinkering with this stuff, or maybe they've been racing go-karts since they were kids, or that kind of stuff. But my curriculum starts from the very beginning, like assuming you know absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the class I was talking about in 10th grade, they don't have that anymore, right? So there's no introduction to my class anymore.
Sure.
And so I have to spend a couple of weeks on, this is a wrench, this is how a screw works, and so I have to...
So it's not like a music school where they assume you have some kind of music, no, like training?
It definitely helps.
Okay.
But it's not necessary. I've got one of my best second-year seniors this year, and coming into my class last year, he wasn't sure if he wanted to do it. It just seemed interesting to him.
One of the questions here that I had, which was, I feel like there's been a cultural shift in the last 10, 15 years where, well, so back in the 90s, you know, like that's my favorite phrase, but the computer age was just hitting.
Right.
Okay, so it was gold mine, you know, everyone has learned computers, that's how you're going to make money. Well, we've kind of come around now, right, and the computer jobs are saturated, sure, and everyone can do that now. So I feel like electricians, plumbers, the sort of trades actually are where the money is now.
Yeah, it always should have been, because for years, I've been told to compare my job as a technician, not a teacher,
sure,
but to doctor, and
in what way?
Well, so the comparison comes, and I've seen it firsthand. Is, have you ever seen like extended warranties on a car? They see a commercial So you buy a car and you pay a little extra money for this policy, right? So you. This extended warranty is no different from a health insurance policy. When you buy this policy, you're going to pay $1,000. I don't know. I'm just going to throw a number out
there.
You're going to pay a premium for this policy. That health insurance, you're paying monthly on that policy, right?
Yeah.
So every time you go to the doctor, you pay a deductible. All right. You have whatever procedure done, right? And the doctor is going to, or a hospital or whatever, is going to bill the insurance company, whatever they're going to bill. And then what do you get in the mail? You get a bill.
Yeah.
Why did I get a bill? I paid this insurance, right?
Yeah. I paid my deductible.
Exactly. Yeah. So same thing with these extended warranties. You get, you know, you pay your premium, you take your car in, and from the technician side, the repair or the bill for a major repair, say an engine failure, maybe the repair is going to be $3,000, right? So there's a process, and it usually takes a couple of days, right? So if you go into a shop with an extended warranty, they say, okay, we got to make some phone calls back and forth and back and forth. It takes a while.
Sure.
So a shop will call the insurance, I call it an insurance company. It's all it is. And they say, okay, it's going to cost $3,000 to fix this car. The insurance company says, or the warranty company says, well, I'll give you $2,100.
So okay. Who pays for the other $900 then?
You tell me.
It's the customer,
who,
right?
Should be. But when the technician or the shop calls up and says, well, your warranty will only cover $2,100. If we proceed, you're going to owe another $900. What's the customer going to say?
What was the point of buying that warranty? Yeah.
Right. Well, that's just robbery, blah, blah, blah. And they get all mad. And it happens all the time. And so one of the things that I tell my students, I'm like, look, don't rip anybody off, right? Because sure. A customer is not a customer unless they come back. And this might be a little bit of a tangent, maybe slightly off the topic. But I say, fix it right, but make money doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Get that extra $900. Don't do it for $2,100. If the customer doesn't want to buy it, you know, doesn't want to pay the money, let the next guy pay.
Sure. Right?
Tell the customer. Don't be afraid to fire customers. And maybe that's a harsh way to put it.
That's definitely the number one rule I learned running my business.
Yeah, you have to know your boundaries yeah. And you have to know how to say no.
I definitely agree with that.
But that brings up an interesting question. So besides the technical knowledge of actually fixing a car, what kind of customer knowledge are you giving to these kids too? Are you teaching them how to basically deal with clients?
Absolutely. It's the students that when a live customer comes in with their pair, it's the students that write up the work orders. And we don't even use electronic work orders yet. We just still handwritten work orders on triplicate and stuff, make them write it out. They have to get the customer signature, and you know, they have to look up all the parts and everything. They have to do the ordering.
Sure.
They do all of it. And so legally we're not allowed to charge labor. It'd be weird. Child labor laws prevent us from doing that. Oh, yeah. Right? So.
You mean those second graders that came into our
No, it turns out they won't let me run a sweatshop. You know, but no. But.
You don't even need to jack the car up very high.
They just slide just, under. Yeah. Crawl right under, kid. You know?
Saving money today.
Don't worry about that. Oh, that's the upstairs neighbor. Don't worry about that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
but no, I do. I teach them all. I try to teach as many of the aspects of the business as I can, not just the underhood stuff. In fact, at the end of the year, for my first year students, we've got this online program, and it'll give us our cost and suggested retail price on parts. We're also not allowed to mark up parts more than like 10 or 15% or something like that.
Okay.
State Board of Accounts won't let us like make a boatload of money.
Darn.
And I get it.
You're supposed to be teaching these kids.
Right. So I do teach them the system though. So what I do, it also, the program that we use also has a labor estimating guide, and we can print out an estimate, parts, labor, and all of it. And so what I do is I challenge these kids to make $1,000 over the summer. And they're like, $1,000? That's a lot of money. I lay it out. I show them how to use the estimator and stuff. So you look what kind of car you got. And I said, don't even mess around with anything under the car. Right? Don't put yourself in danger. Right? You don't have to jack it up. If you stick with just stuff under the hood, basic maintenance stuff. A tune-up, for example, you might have $100 in parts. If you bought a product for $100 and we're gonna sell that to another person, how much would you sell that $100 product for?
Dang, good.
$120?
Yeah, I would say you'd have to buy really? It somewhere.
Well, depends on how much time it takes to sell it, I guess.
A couple hundred?
Huh?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why wouldn't you double your money?
Yeah, seriously. Oh, yeah, okay. Like, you know,
sure. Double money.
Make some money. $200, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
sure.
Then,
yeah.
So then we're looking at labor. I show them how to look up labor. And
$200, Bob.
Right. Double it. Double it. Make it four. You've been a teacher there for 6 years. So yeah. Now you should. Are there any like stories of kids that you had in class that are now out in the field?
Not many. I've got a couple guys. Well, actually, I haven't talked to him in a little while. I don't know if he's still there. I had a couple of guys that were working in a dealership. But most of them that I keep track of, and this is going to sound funny, but most of them that I keep track of aren't even in the automotive field.
Oh.
And, so, and when people ask me, well, why are they sticking around? I thought it was a great job. And it is a great job, but it doesn't pay.
Oh.
So, yeah. And that's where you're talking about a shift over the last 10 or 15 years. That's where this is really starting to happen. Salaries are going up. Labor rates in shops have been going up, but technician salaries hadn't really risen for
a very
it's
long almost
time.
Like you had getting in the that entry, getting past the entry level,
right?
You can't afford it,
right?
But if you can get through it, then
right,
you're
the first 3 years suck. But the other thing on top of a little salary is that for the first 10 years of your career, you're going to spend about a third of your net pay on tools and equipment. Technicians all have to buy their own stuff, their own toolboxes, all of it.
That's rough.
A toolbox alone to carry
enough. So even if you're a technician working in a shop, someone else's shop,
yeah,
you have to buy your own.
Yes.
Tools.
Yep. Now, shops will typically take care of the larger equipment.
Okay, but the main
machines that will hook up to a car, a lot of times that stuff will be bought.
Yeah, and these tools, I imagine, are, you know, I'm not walking into Walmart and buying these
right
tools.
Yeah, dealers that come to you. And
is that like the Mac tool guys
and Snap-on? And you know, it's good stuff, but and most of it has really good warranties, but it's freaking expensive.
Yeah.
You used to be able to go into Sears and buy a wrench set for $30-$40 and a similar wrench set for off of one of these trucks is going to be $150.
Jeez.
But they'll only charge you $20 a week. I don't have $180 for this wrench set right now. Well, for the low price of $20 right now.
Right. So every car manufacturer might have different tool for the same job. So if you're not limiting yourself to only Japanese cars, now you got to buy the Japanese wrench and the American wrench.
Right. Now, a lot of the dealerships, like you go to a Ford dealership, you're probably not buying a lot of Toyota or Rolls-Royce tools, right? But if you're at an independent, you're working on Hondas and Fords and Toyotas. And
see, that's not something that many people consider.
No, I would never have even thought of that.
They think, I got a Honda. I'm going to go to the shop and they're going to be able to fix it.
And at the dealerships, the dealership is required to buy the special tools for a given vehicle. Like when a new model comes out, if there's a special tool required for that vehicle, the dealership has to buy that tool before the manufacturer will sell any of those cars to that dealership. So the technicians are still spending a lot of money on tools, but not to the degree that some of the independent shops are. It's expensive. That's why it costs a fortune to get your car fixed.
Yeah, next time you go to the shop now, Kyle, they're going to be like, well, that's going to be $400, and you're going to be like, $600.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be like, okay.
As long as this fixes my problem and I don't have to come back next week, deal.
Well, yeah, see, because that's the only thing I worry about is the people you talked about earlier who are like, well, I've spent too much time on this. It's probably this. So, and then it's like, and then you get that fixed, and it's like, well, that wasn't the
issue. Don't spend money on a maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I've had to approach customers and say, look, you know, I might charge you a couple hours for some diagnostic time. And maybe I'm 5 hours into it. Already, I've given you a 3-hour discount, right?
Sure.
But, you know, I'll have to lay it out. Look, I think it's one of these things, but I don't know for sure. I need to run a few more tests. It's probably going to take me another 2 or 3 hours. I'm going to bill you for that next 2 or 3 hours. All right. So as long as we're clear, you know, because now that I'm at this stopping point, I'm not going to charge any more money if you want to come get your car. I don't know what's wrong with it, but I did spend the time on it. I've gotten to this point. Nobody wants to work for free, right?
Yeah.
And so yeah, I've had that argument. I've had arguments with customers about that too. And one of my former employers laid it out to a customer the best way I've ever seen anybody. The guy came in and wanted us to check out his car. And I had a couple hours in it, but he only wanted to charge. He only charged this guy like an hour labor, right? And, well, that was too expensive. The service was going to be too expensive, so he just wanted to pick up his car. And he said, okay, that's fine. I think at the time, the labor rate was only like $65 an hour. So, all right, it's going to be $65. And he says, well, that's bullshit. You didn't even fix anything. He's like, well, no, but my guy would spend a couple hours on your car finding out what was wrong. He's like, well, I'm not going to pay you if you didn't fix anything. He said, okay, do you have a job? He said, well, yeah. He said, tomorrow, when you go in at 8 o'clock, don't punch in until 9. He said, well, that's bullshit. Why would I do that? That's what you're asking my guy to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's expensive. And, you know, like I said, I try to train these guys to make money doing it.
Sure.
Bill them appropriately. And as long as it's fixed for the amount of money that you're told it's going to be fixed, then everything should be fine.
Yeah.
If there is a problem, and there is from time to time, it happens. Stand behind what you do, right? If I tell somebody that, and this is a scenario that's happened before, if I tell you, because a customer doesn't really care what the actual problem is. All they know is a symptom.
Sure.
I've got this weird noise in my car, right? Okay, for $600, I can fix that noise. Okay, fine. So I do the work, I take it for a drive, and it still has the noise. Damn, what do I do? I can't give this car back, and I can't call the customer back until I have that noise fixed.
Sure.
So from that point on, that's on me. So I'm going to fix that noise, and hopefully I can fix that noise for the amount of profit that I would have made on that $600 job.
Sure.
Well, maybe, I mean, this is just an idea. You know, you could add soundproofing to the inside of the cars.
So I've got rolls of that stuff.
You can hear the sound, and it...
I'm listening.
You just do an air horn right next to the customer's ear when he walks in the door. He's he can't hear anything.
What? You're deaf now. What? Can't hear the sound now, can you?
Turn the stereo up. Sounds great, right?
Make the radio really loud.
Right.
Right.
You're welcome.
We talked about this before, because I brought it up. One night we were hanging out,
mm-hmm.
and about kids and mobile phones, and oh.
Grumble, grumble.
It's got to be really difficult.
That wasn't an issue when I was in high school. So how is that now?
It's got to be really difficult as a teacher. So first of all, what are the rules with mobile phones in your classroom? Are kids allowed to have them out?
That's when you show them the gasoline trick, only with right. a phone.
Yeah.
So I try not to call them phones, first of all, because we do a lot of e-learning. I don't actually have a textbook in my class. It's just an online book.
Oh.
And so everybody's got either a Chromebook tablet or whatever. And so sometimes people don't bring their Chromebooks, and I'll have people doing their assignment on their phone or their internet-capable device.
Sure.
Or if we're doing something that requires some math figuring, some ciphering, I'll tell everybody to grab their Wi-Fi calculators. You know? 'Cause that's all, everybody's got one, right? And so I don't take their phones unless it's an issue.
Okay.
Right? And one thing I do try to... warn them, like, look, I'm not stupid, right? So if I see somebody sitting in the back of the room staring at their lap, right, with their hands under the table.
A glow on their face.
Yeah.
Like, listen, nobody's crotch is that interesting.
I swear I was sleeping.
Whatever. But as long as they're not disruptive, right? As long as they're not, like, playing a game or watching a movie or something that the dude next to them is distracted by, I don't care. Like, if you're not paying attention to my class, you're the one that's losing out.
Sure.
All right, so that shouldn't be on me. So you're the one that's going to fail the test, dummy. So you do you. But it can be a problem just because I know they're distracted. They're not paying attention.
I think you told me about one particular story. Can we tell this? I don't know.
I'm intrigued.
I don't know that it's
well, this thing on.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not going to get anyone in trouble here.
I can probably do it without naming names. And it was a number of years ago. I'm not sure what the statute of limitations on property damage is.
Oh, no.
If that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to know. Well, even if we edited it out, I need to know now.
Maybe you could talk about another automotive teacher that you heard a story about.
Ooh, no, I can't tell that one either.
Oh, no.
I can get in real trouble for that one. Yeah, not good times. No.
Howdy Doo is not responsible for it.
Okay, moving on.
Right.
My question, the question that I wrote down here is, are the kids all right? Or are we doomed?
We're not doomed. And I keep trying to reassure myself and others that I'm trying to pump out the next generation of trained, qualified technicians that are going to succeed and make a few bucks and not screw everybody over. The one thing that I don't know if I blame technology on or cell phones on, but the one thing I've noticed is the lack of patience. A lot of the students will lack the patience that's necessary to take your time. Like I mentioned, I was the one with actual books, these big thick things made of paper that you unfolded and had information on. There were words and pictures. And shit. It's amazing.
Like, yeah.
Right?
How am I supposed to look
like
that
Wikipedia?
Up?
Yeah. Weird.
Like if you were to print Wikipedia. Yeah.
What the hell is Britannica? But no, I try to pound it into them. I'm like, look, you need to just take a breath, put your phone away. Right, it's not gonna get done today. It's not gonna, because we're only in the shop. If we're there in a class period, it's like 2 hours, right?
Sure.
By the time we get through a lecture, we're trying to get some stuff done in the shop for about an hour, and so
that's not a lot of time,
right? So most of the projects we're doing are very long term. I'm like, look, it's not gonna get done today, but it's gonna get done. It's gonna get done right. So just relax, look it up, right? Don't be afraid to print something out. Read the words, right? So just about everything we do has a description and a step-by-step instructions on how to perform. You know, it's not all just YouTube, right? You can't just go to YouTube and say, well, Chris Fix said to do it this way. Okay, stop.
Flex tape could I use to fix this problem?
Oh, man. this says we need to buy 100 pounds of flex tape to fix the boat.
So
cut in half.
Right. So, and I always get nervous because kids will come to me and say, hey, Mr. Barnes, you got some duct tape?
Oh, like, gosh.
Hold on.
That's like that's got to be the scariest sentence. Like,
what are we doing?
Yeah. I'm fixing brakes.
Or it's like, I'm trying to watch this video fixing brakes, but I've got 3 ads of Bloomberg ads. 20 minutes of Bloomberg before I can fix my brake pads.
Bloomberg 2020.
Yeah, like 20 minutes later, and it's like, I still don't know how to fix brake pads, but I know the Bloomberg
but
sucks.
I think I'm both all right.
But I know where I stand on 2020 politics. Right.
Oh, man. Okay, so I got to ask this.
Okay.
We've talked about this a little bit before, but e-learning.
Hmm?
What are your thoughts?
Okay,
I've got mixed feelings, but I want to hear it from you.
So I was on the e-learning committee for the district.
Oh, okay. I'm glad I didn't say my thoughts first.
I wanted to sit on this committee. When I first signed on, I had sort of a mission in mind.
Sure.
I wanted to prove a point. I'm like, this is not going to work in career and tech ed. I can't teach somebody how to change a tire online. It doesn't work. But I was wrong.
Oh.
It really does. It works. Like I said, I don't even have a physical textbook.
Sure.
And so what I found is, you know, the e-learning, I'm sorry, what was the question?
What was the question? So, the question was just basically, this is this new thing. It's only been going on for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
And I have mixed feelings about it. I like it that they don't have to make it up and it doesn't, sure, it doesn't go into their summer. I also like it that I feel, we talked about this before, but I feel like, at least especially in computer industry and those sort of office sort of industries,
right,
work from home is getting really standard. And so I feel like e-learning kind of is a good teaching training process for how to work from home. What you got to do for the day. Here's your Chromebook. Sit at the kitchen table and do it on your own without the teacher telling you to do it. And I feel like that's a good training for that.
Yeah.
But a part of me just feels like maybe there isn't enough work for. And then another negative is that it puts a burden sort of on the parent that is home with them that day.
Sure. Somebody's got to call off work or something like that.
Just last week or the week before, I can't remember, there was the snow day.
Right.
And so I was working from home myself, but I'm working.
Right.
Like I need to, you know, work.
Right.
I don't, but then I had to deal with the e-learning from my daughter and unexpectedly. And like I said, she's a first grade. She can't read the instructions all the time. So it's like someone's really got to guide her through.
Right.
And so it kind of puts that burden on the caretaker of the kids for the day.
Sure.
And then I also wonder when the eighth grader can get through the entire day's work in 45 minutes, if that really equates to a school day. But then again, when I was in high school, we didn't have to make up snow days. A snow day was just a day we didn't go.
And, right, because they built those days into the
And we calendar. Turned out okay. So, right. in the right. end, it's...
Survivorship bias.
So, I guess I could ask you, on an average school day, how much time do you think you actually gave your teacher 100% of your full attention?
45 minutes.
Well, we didn't have mobile phones in the class. So. We didn't have mobile phones back then. Okay. So
it's supposed to be like 20 minutes per subject for e-learning, right?
Yeah.
So if you had 5 subjects in a day, let's say you were supposed to do some, I don't remember, 4th grade, right? So we did some math.
Yeah.
Maybe some social English. Studies. Of yeah. Some reading, writing, arithmetic, right?
Yeah. So had,
definitely so, not like... chemistry or anything like
no,
that.
No, no, we're not doing AP physics.
The gas experiment.
Yeah. Hey, well, no, I was doing that.
You're e-learning. Your e-learning.
I was setting stuff on fire in 4th grade. But that's a whole other story. It's for another podcast. But I don't think it's... I don't think it's fair to compare a full day in school to an e-learning day at home.
Yeah.
Because
I'm sure that's not fair.
The timing's not the same.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
Everybody's day is just destroyed, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's off their game anyway.
I mean, ultimately, I do think it's a good thing.
Are the teachers the one who win during e-learning
days? It depends on the day. Is it a snow day? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the scheduled e-learning days...
You go out and grab your sleds and go...
No, on the scheduled e-learning days, those are our professional development days. We're actually brought in... Sometimes we're in the building. Sometimes we have to go to... Like, this past was it, Monday was our last e-learning day.
Okay.
And the whole district, we were in the high school auditorium.
And I know that you guys took an e-learning day a few months ago, and we briefly mentioned this, but like we're not really that. You know,
in November.
The 19th. Red for Ed. Red for Ed?
Yep, Red for Ed.
So you went to that.
I did.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about how that day was.
Bonkers, man. There were thousands of teachers wearing red out there. And we're out there. And, you know, it's funny. I never thought of myself as a pro-union guy growing up, you know.
Sure.
But I definitely am now. I get it. And it wasn't just about the union, though. Even non-union teachers and even some school administrators were in Indianapolis. Sure. 'Cause we're all pissed. Right? There's a lot of teachers that have been doing it way longer than I have. And up until recently, that there were teachers that were making less than I am that have been doing it way longer, which that ain't right.
No.
You know? Yeah. And so, anyway, the point is, we went down there to sort of banging the doors of the state house to get their attention, saying, you know, you need to make some decisions. Make something happen here. Make it right, because
yeah, but they knew about it.
Oh yeah,
so they were able to.
They knew we were.
They
coming.
Knew you were coming, and if I remember correctly, the governor made sure he wasn't even there that day.
Oh yeah, he was out of state. He was
Florida. Emergency trip out of state.
Whoops, gotta go.
If that's the state to go to, it's Florida, really.
Right. Right. No, it was so jam packed. That there were teachers in red actually blocking the doors, keeping the legislators.
So it was just thousands
of building. Oh yeah,
thousands of
and nobody
teachers.
Was moving either. They're like having to squeeze past all these people in red. They're like, excuse me,
just squeezing into the state house is as many people as you can, and then people spilling out outside.
Yes,
and. I don't know. Was there like did you march around downtown?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Singing songs and or carrying signs and singing songs.
Signs.
Any particular songs that were like favorites?
Not that. I mean, it's usually some sort of chanting.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure like you wanted to sing for it. No, I'm sure.
I mean, I can sing if you want me to sing. I wasn't sure what this podcast was going to be like. Yeah. That's cool.
You're auditioning right now. No. But did, this morning, did were you bothered by any like security or police presence or anything like that?
No. No. In fact, the cops were cool about it. They were blocking the street for us and stuff.
Sweet. I just didn't know if you were blocking legislators, if they gave you any kind of.
No. I mean, they wouldn't let us into certain rooms and stuff.
Sure.
But. No,
they were probably yes, block them all you want, please.
We're all loud and obnoxious, and I mean, all wearing bright red, and it was cold as shit that day too. So we're like wearing our red t-shirts on the outsides of our coats, and it started raining. And
of course,
it was awful.
Yeah,
I didn't bring an umbrella.
And from your point of view, what like the point, the main point of the day?
So, yeah, it's, I wouldn't say it's all about wages.
But definitely wages too. Come on. Because I saw that, well, that Indiana was 50th. So literally the last.
Congratulations, Indiana.
Right.
You've won nothing.
In teacher raises or increase since for the last 20 years.
Right.
So obviously that's a part of it. But on top of that. There's more than just that.
So now I can't speak personally to a lot of the grief and hardship that a lot of the teachers have faced.
Sure.
I know there are a lot of there are a lot of teachers that complained about just unfair labor practices and being expected to stay hours and hours to get these things done, and they got to take their tests home and grade them, you know, doing all the stuff on their own time. And
well, they got to buy all the school supplies for their classroom and such like
that. But they don't. Well, they do, but they shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they should
which
not
is
come
like
out
a,
of their own pocket. the only thing I can speak from is my own teaching experience in the short amount of time that I've done it. I absolutely love the job. It is the most emotionally exhausting job I've ever had. But I don't know, even though I've always loved working on cars and doing all this stuff, I don't know, this one feels way more rewarding. And so I don't know, it's kind of worth it.
So what you're saying is what you thought you were doing was working on cars, but you were really working on the minds of our youth.
Oh, indeed.
The lesson for everyone from today's corrupting podcast.
I mean, molding the minds of the future.
Corrupting.
No, I do love it, but I also know there are a lot of teachers, even in this district, that have it a lot worse than I do. And so
sure.
That's why I do it.
Well, good.
That's why I went to Indy.
Because it's not just about yourself. It's about other people.
Right. And so there were enough of us in this district and many districts across the state that said, we're gonna do this. And we had so many people want to do it. And so the school system said, okay, fine, we'll just close that day. And
good on them for doing that.
Right. That in itself showed a little bit of support from our administration on our part. Or for us, I guess. But I still have not seen a school administrator in this district wear red on a Wednesday. We're supposed to wear red for Ed on Wednesday. So it's our action, right? And the idea is to, and maybe it's a little thing, maybe it doesn't seem like much, but it makes people ask, why is everybody wearing red?
Why is everyone wearing
red? Well, let me tell you. Right?
Sure. So it's a conversation starter.
Exactly.
So far in your experience, no administrator has worn red.
Nope.
No solidarity on their part.
ISTA, the Indiana State Teachers Association, brought me, because I'm the Red for Ed coordinator in our building.
Oh, great.
I don't know how I get myself roped into all these committees.
I know, right?
Learning committee.
He does everything.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm also on the... I'll get out of time. Because I'm on several committees. Because I'm on the union's contract negotiating team for the district.
Oh,
I'm
sweet.
On the technology curriculum committee. So we're trying to decide how to move forward with technology in the district. But anyway, so I'm the Red for Ed coordinator, and ISTA sent me this bag full of red swag, basically. So I had pins and stickers and a bunch of like canvas like bags and stuff that a couple weeks ago I walked around and handed them all out. And so there are these red for Ed pins.
Sure.
And I try to remind everybody to wear red on Wednesdays. And so I handed everybody pins so that in case they forgot to wear red, put your pin on, right? So at least it attracts some attention. But they gave me this big, long roll of these big stickers, red, white, ISTA stickers. So I walked around this morning making sure everybody was wearing red, taking pictures of all the teachers wearing red, and anybody who wasn't wearing red, I slapped a giant sticker on them to shame them into wearing red next week. took a picture of everybody and sent it to the teachers union. So they're going to get it out to the out on social media. These people wore red, but these people didn't.
Shame. Shame the non-believer. Shame. Is there a union involved in the Michigan City education system?
The Michigan City Education Association, as a matter of fact, yes.
Oh, okay. See, now, Are you on the board?
I'm not on the executive board of it, but I am the alternate representative for our building.
See, well, that's...
We've got a union rep, I don't know how I get myself in these things.
So I didn't know that. I didn't know Michigan City area schools had a union.
Well, one of the strongest in the state.
And one of the strongest in the state. I didn't know
that. We have one of this district has one of the best contracts in the state.
Really? Well, that's
nice. It's the most in favor of teachers.
That's good. Absolutely. So what
Now I guess I'm not sure exactly what to ask union wise or what's proper to ask union wise, but do you like member numbers? Like, is there a percentage of teachers that you want in the union?
Well, we want 100%.
Sure.
But as a district, I think we're like 96%.
That's amazing.
It's almost unheard of.
Yeah, seriously, I have a friend who's a teacher in Indianapolis, and I think in his school, he's the only teacher that's part of a union.
Indiana. So in our building, we're at 99%, only because there's one teacher who just started, and her enrollment form hasn't made the office yet.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, but it is good. Yeah, for people who will argue for or against unionized labor or whatever. What talked me into signing up and paying the dues was representation. For us, we've got a team of lawyers, right?
So yeah.
As a shop teacher, I've got 20 teenagers in a room with sharp tools and fire and chemicals and 5,000-pound vehicles hanging over us. What could possibly go wrong? Yeah. Right? And when something does, I got a guy.
Do you find that being part of a union is like a teaching tool for some of your students at all?
Does that
ever come into play? Or,
you know, maybe, because I do bring it up once in a while.
Sure.
So I talk about maybe not so much the union, but our contract.
Right? Sure.
So when we're on a contract, we're on salary, right? So when I go in, I don't punch a clock. I'm not paid by the hour. But if you break the number of days that we're in class and break that down by hours in service, the hourly rate is actually pretty good. And so I bring that up to students, and then usually that conversation is usually spurred by a student saying, "Well, Mr. Barnes, if we've got a sub tomorrow, do we have to come in?" And I've told him before, "Well, honestly, I don't care if it came in today." I'm like, "Listen, I get paid the same whether you're here or not."
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I get paid the same whether I'm here or not.
Yeah.
So I probably shouldn't say things like that.
Well, but no, that's a good lesson though, because some kids need to, like, if a kid, like, I know not every kid who goes to like a class like that is going to choose college because they're choosing like maybe a trade school or something like that. But if when you go to like college or something like that, you're literally paying to be there.
Yeah.
And so it's like the teacher doesn't care if you come into class or not.
Right. And like, trade schools, we have a pretty strict attendance and what works up to a work ethics policy.
Sure.
Right. Trade schools have super strict attendance policies, right? So when I went to Lincoln Tech in the 90s, if you missed 3 days in a course, regardless of the reason, you failed.
Wow.
Right. So it's each course, like engines or brakes or whatever, each one was like 3.5 weeks long. And so if you missed 3 days, you're done. And so I think an employer would do the same thing. Like I said, we try to treat them professionally. If you don't want to show up tomorrow, man, that's on you. Right. Mm-hmm. It's your attendance that's going to be affected. You're the one that's going to miss those points. You're the one that's going to get a bad grade.
Sure.
So you do what you want.
Yeah.
So I just put it in a blunt way.
Yeah.
I'm brutally honest with my students. I get a little criticism from some people about it. But I
sometimes they need that, though.
I don't like to bullshit people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes they need to hear it.
Maybe we shouldn't ask him what he thinks about our podcast.
Well, I didn't listen to the whole thing, so. I'm like, okay. Okay.
Yeah, we can just stop.
Yeah, I can do this.
Oh, this is all it is? Okay.
Yeah, sure. Right. This is going to be fine.
Yeah. Oh, they're talking about Indiana Beach? Really?
Well, oh, yeah. Okay. What are your thoughts on Indiana Beach? I missed that podcast.
Oh, well,
sorry.
Yeah. That was the last one. Episode.
That was the last one, man. Yeah, we talked about we talked about
the downfall of Indiana Beach. Yeah, and so that was like 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah,
and
Still no movement.
Really? I saw people.
Oh, people tried. There was a petition, but no, petitions but don't sell music parks.
There was like right. live video of people protesting outside of it. Today.
Oh, people protested
for what?
What
I know, right? Like who are they protesting to?
Though?
Yeah, like
that dude's in like Maine or something.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm on the East Coast. They
yeah.
Like
so the last I heard is they're gonna start dismantling the rides. I hope they sell it in pieces. Like I would like a piece of the roller coaster on my
just
wall.
Just one of the cars.
Yeah.
Pull by your truck.
Yeah.
Come on, kids.
Yeah. The old fashioned car.
Yeah.
Sitting in my garage. I'm gonna make a...
every time you get in a tear just trickles out of your eye. It's
like with the motorcycle ride in your front yard. Yeah. Right?
So we talk about restaurants a lot in town.
A lot.
Oh yeah.
So what?
Because we love eating.
What sort of your in Michigan City or close by? What sort of your like go to restaurant?
Man,
where will we find you eating on a Saturday night?
Well,
my house.
Maybe.
No. So,
if you're gonna, you know, your family's gonna go out, where do right. you?
I guess it depends on the situation. If I've got a bunch of family coming in like around holidays and stuff,
sure.
Okay.
A big group of 8, 10, 12 people, then we'll probably go to El Cajete.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
El Cajete.
Oh, I love El Cajete.
Love that place, right?
Oh, yeah. That's our go-to.
The Cajete special is like the big
it's so good, yeah.
Big,
oh geez!
Oh yeah,
it's definitely our favorite.
It's huge, man. You can get a junior as long like this big. This is in this giant.
Yeah, but why do that when you get the big one?
It's amazing. And I always walk away from there. I rarely take home leftovers just because I'm not a quitter. I walk away just feeling awful.
Yeah,
so bloated.
You
and sick.
Yeah,
you so don't, good. Yeah.
You don't stop eating until you want to kill yourself.
That's right. Right. Well, I'm out of buttons to undo, so I guess I better go.
Sir,
one more plate of chips.
Sir, you can't get naked at our restaurant. I'm sorry.
No, you can't get naked at this restaurant.
I am a teacher.
But tell me what to do.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm a teacher at AK Smith.
I teach your kids.
Says no shoes, no shirt. That's an anime about pants. Leave me alone. Here's some nachos. No. I love the food. And the beer at Shoreline. I'm a huge fan of Shoreline.
Oh yeah, Shoreline's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this.
Come on.
I should have known you were going to ask this.
Come on.
But maybe should I ask it? Well,
yeah,
I feel like I should ask this because have you been to the Lucky Hatchet yet?
Not yet.
Okay. See, this is like a this
excited,
is a thing
though.
For our podcast.
I keep driving by it, going, you know,
one of these days I'm going to stop in and throw
right,
some hatchets.
I gotta be sober and go in there.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't have to be sober to go in there.
Oh, done.
They sell beer there.
Yeah, you just have to sign a waiver. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's a big waiver.
I'm all about signing waivers.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever thrown a hatchet?
No, I want to believe that they have like specialized throwing hatchets.
No,
they're
like we pick these up at Lowe's.
Pretty much regular hatchets,
yeah.
As far right. as I know.
Yeah,
that's
smaller.
Like safety glasses and just go.
Safety
go
glasses,
just,
dude. What are you talking about? No,
dude,
you
just
go bare eyed
and you all throw. Right.
What do you throw them at?
Targets.
There's some people that volunteer.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, they're.
Did you graduate from AK?
Yeah.
No, I kid.
But yeah, they've got targets, and there's like mulch underneath the targets. So,
oh yeah,
which
so if it
used
falls,
to be targets.
Not playing,
at some point. Yeah exactly.
Gotcha. Oh man. Well, any other Michigan City events we should talk about?
Are you excited about anything going on in Michigan City?
Yeah,
coming up. Like anything coming up you're excited about? You're like, yes, Michigan City. Yeah. Or are you like, yeah, I can't wait
spring?
Till I can get out of. No, yeah.
Okay.
It is.
I'm excited
yeah.
for the weather to change.
It's supposed to be like 57 on Sunday,
yay.
Which is like by the time you're listening to this. Had passed already.
Right.
So, hope you enjoyed it.
I've been seeing this. I haven't been yet, but there's a food truck festival.
Oh yeah,
in like Washington Park.
Yes,
it's in like May.
Wait, is that happening again this year?
Yeah,
sweet.
Have you been?
No, I have. I
have
no,
you been?
I went last year.
How was
the
it?
The food truck festival.
There was like food and trucks.
But like, okay, how
it's crazy,
many,
right?
How many?
I didn't expect that to happen.
Well, I'm glad.
Oh no,
food
the all Fetter's Alley was lined up.
Just lined up, yeah, all of them. See, that does sound pretty interesting.
That does sound.
Yeah,
it sounds very fattening.
It's kind of weird. You have to get tickets though, but the tickets are free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it.
You just got to go online and get a ticket.
It's probably for like headcount. Yeah. They want to know how many people are coming.
Because nobody took the ticket.
Then I don't. Then I don't know.
Yeah.
It's for semantics. Weird. I don't know.
Right.
Someone's like, this will really screw with them.
I ate ribs, tacos, sushi, ice cream, ham.
And then I went to the next truck.
Yeah. Well, so you've been? Have you been to Taste of Michigan City? I assume.
Yeah, my kids played music there.
Oh, what do they? Wait, play music there? What did they play?
JVB is the name of their band. It's my son and daughter.
Oh, sweet!
I did not know. He plays guitar and she sings and plays piano, but we didn't have a keyboard that day.
Oh, nice.
A lot of Beatles, some
I've seen them.
Nothing wrong with that.
I've seen
Peter Paul and Mary.
Yeah.
Some Black Sabbath.
Well, that leads to another interesting discussion. But
check out JVB on YouTube.
Oh, there we go.
There
we go. Plug for JVB. Right. I was about to ask, like, what is like the difference between the food truck festival and like Taste of Michigan City? What would you say the main difference would be?
One of them's on Franklin Street.
So they're like, you're saying they're like the same thing almost. It's just, you know, one's on Franklin.
Same trucks.
Same trucks. Okay.
Seems good.
Yeah.
But the Taste has like booths, restaurants with booths, not necessarily all food trucks.
Yeah, it's not just food trucks.
Festival have booths that are not food trucks, or is it literally food trucks?
Come to think of it, I think it was just food trucks.
That would be weird if it wasn't.
Right.
Yeah. Did they have music at the food truck festival?
There was music blaring from somewhere.
Oh, it was just like, it was just ethereal music coming from somewhere.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just didn't know because I know the like taste
okay,
the
so
stage and everything.
Fine, there were lots of differences.
Okay, well, yes. We gotcha!
Yes.
That's what we do on How Do You Do.
Questions. What is this, some sort of interview?
We keep pushing. Yeah.
We push until we get the gotcha moment. You said there wasn't a difference, and this is the difference.
No, I said it was on Franklin Street. I was right. I'm never wrong. I tell my students that all the time. I'm never wrong.
This is the kind of credibility people come to Howdy Do for.
Oh, good.
We've got the stories.
Yeah. We got a high bar here, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, man. Can't even trip over my
car. Oh man. All right. Well
this
unless
has been,
anybody's
no,
got
I mean
else,
this has been enlightening. It was should, this is a really good conversation. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks
Steve.
For having
no,
me.
No, yeah,
fun.
Seriously, yeah.
So
our first interview, and I think it went well.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna wrap it up the Howdy Do style. Yeah. So once again, just in case you missed it, we were interviewing Steve Barnes. And my name's Kyle Murphy. And
I'm Adam Moore.
And this was How Do You Do?
Will Johnson's Van Dyke Grigsby was paroled at 89. He never walked on a carpet, never tasted dinner wine. His old eyes were slowly fading as he walked out of the gate, and he breathed the first free air he'd breathed since 1908. Howdy do, Michigan City, you're sure a pretty sight. Well, I know there's bigger cities and more exciting nights, but I think your girls are pretty, and I love your children too, Michigan City.